doing the Dragon Con Shuffle. It's GRD Sweekly.
Yes, indeed, and welcome back to it. The real world, that is.
Oh, boo!
I still feel hungover from Dragon Con.
Really?
As much as I saw you drinking? Yes, I'm so surprised.
I drink a lot. So, hi, welcome to it, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all the ships at sea. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know, you follow us on Facebook, Twitter. We're there in the forums where everybody knows how to post a message. I have eyes. I can see that. Thank you.
I can see it. We can all see it.
In fact, let's all stop the show for a moment so I can show everybody what it is that they don't normally see. Look, there it is. Yay!
Sorry.
And if you want to know what we're talking about, you have to stop by the forums at GeekRadioDaily.com. So here it is, the Sometimes Weekly Show episode number?
132.
There you go. And the people bringing it to you? Well, that there is the Flintstress.
God, how can a person not sleep? I could sleep right now. It's hard for me not to sleep.
That's the Bruce.
That is so true.
It's like living with a six-year-old.
And the greatest geek of all, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
His geek penis is longer and harder than all of ours put together.
So how the hell you been?
I'm not putting mine together with anybody's. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I think I mean combined metaphorically.
Yeah. Oh, I'm still not
that weird thing you did in the corner at Dragon Con that we're not going to talk about because we were going to keep ourselves on a not explicit rating. So
really?
Yeah, we're back from Dragon Con. It was fantastic. If we didn't see you there, it's because you weren't there, because otherwise we saw everybody.
We pretty much did see everybody.
All 45,000 of you we saw.
We'll be talking all about that because, shocker, it's the show after Dragon Con. But before we get to there, what you been doing geeky?
Well, I mean, you know, we did some stuff at Dragon Con after the show, you know, because we did our Geek Radio Daily Live show.
We didn't just pack up and leave?
No.
No? Right,
yeah, so that was Friday evening. And so, you know, we did some panels and we walked around and took pictures and dressed up in steampunk costumes and really had a lot of fun, drank alcohol.
Okay, so yeah. That's all we'll be talking about during
later,
the main topic.
Okay.
So what have you been doing geeky, yo?
Other than Dragon Con.
We watched Doctor Who.
There you go. Huh?
Yay.
You up on this?
No, I haven't. Unfortunately, my DVR did not record it. I am going to be recording this
Saturday.
What's
wrong with your DVR? Why does it hate Doctor
Who? It doesn't hate Doctor Who. It's just probably somebody turned it on to something else. You know, just did not want to record it at the time.
Well,
I don't
Doctor
know.
Doctor Who is like our number one priority of all time on our DVR.
Oh, believe me, as soon as I recognized it was not on, I was like, okay, hang on. What's the next time it's on? Click, 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 click. Bang. Record.
Huh.
Again.
Okay.
It was a sad, sort of touching episode. Like, it was really very good. And it's just like, just when you think, I don't know, I don't want to give it away, but it was really heartwarming and really sad and really romantic. And it was just Amy and Rory. Oh, yay.
Fantastic.
It was really,
episode.
Really
I'm
well done. Like,
to
not
it.
Cheesy, not. You know, not ugh.
Much
God,
better
it's tough
than
to
last
be the
week's episode, which we'll talk about later. Ha ha ha.
It's very, very difficult to be the doctor. But yeah, very fun. Fun episode. So, you know. Amy Pond kicks ass. I'm just gonna say that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. We watched football.
Football.
The Redskins.
Football.
We actually won a game.
You can't start a season much better that with the Redskins winning, the Ravens winning, the Cowboys losing. You just can't start a season.
Pretty much, yeah.
Much better.
Well, if Carolina had pulled up a win.
I don't care about the Ravens so much.
If Carolina had won and the Patriots had lost, but they've got plenty of time. Sam.
Oh, snap.
Really?
It was talking smack the whole day before they ever played. And I'm like, dude,
of course
Sam.
He is. Of course
oh,
he is.
And quick note here. Mm-hmm. We were chatting on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, see, the difference between your team and mine is that I recognize my team's been bad. They've been great before, and I just want to see them play competent football. That keeps me from, like, you know, becoming a pompous guy and drunk dialing someone celebrating a Super Bowl victory too soon. And he said, I wasn't drunk. And I said, really? Well, doesn't that make it even worse? So,
wow.
So moving on.
But still, the Redskins won in a very handily fashion. It was a good game.
It was a good game.
It was well managed.
Yep.
It was good offense. The defense, right?
The defense.
All right. I can't decide what I want for Christmas, but I think I want a D'Angelo Hall jersey because he's number 23, you know, and that's my roller derby number.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a badass. And so, yeah. Yeah, that was a good game. And it's just kind of like, we know as Redskins fans, you don't get your hopes up ever.
No.
Right?
Not after one game.
Not unless we can jump in the TARDIS and go back to the early 90s.
Right, but that was a fun.
Late 80s, early 90s. Fun game.
Fun game indeed. I made a blog at work. I'm always making blogs. Like every day I'm making blogs and Google Docs and all kinds of geeky techie stuff, and it's awesome and
geeky
I love techie. It. And making like student training modules to teach them how to use their computers and all kinds of good stuff. My work is very, very, very geeky. We watched an episode of the Looney Tunes, the new Looney Tunes show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bugs gets a job at an office.
Yeah, office job.
Yeah, and Bugs Bunny
does he wear the tie?
He does.
Just the tie.
Yeah.
Pretty much just the tie. And the little collar.
And the gloves that you always have.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just Bugs, and that was funny. And Daffy gets a beak job.
Yep.
Because he's got a bump on his beak.
He never realized he had a beak, little bump on his beak.
Okay.
So he gets a beak job.
Yeah.
I was wondering where that was going. It was just...
Not...
Because you were talking about a job, and it's like a beak job. It's like, does he get a job with his beak? What? Huh?
You need to stop now.
It's good that you didn't go anywhere else with
that.
No,
that's
what we're not talking about the Mickey Mouse Club and the Triangle Bush. That's not what we're talking about.
What? Never mind.
Nope.
Never mind.
It's online. It's funny.
I don't want to know.
Also at work, you know, we have this like extra time at school, and like the teachers are always trying to like find stuff to do. Not extra time, because there's quality instruction that needs to be done. But like, you know, character education.
Your Republicans are listening. Like, don't make them cut more.
No, I'm just saying, quite frankly, actually, we're doing something with the political parties.
Nice.
CNN has a student edition where every single day they have little short, you know, 10 to 15 minute videos about current events. And our students know like nothing at all about current events.
No, of course
not. So they
not.
Go to these. They watch these for like 10 to 15 minutes, and then there's like discussion questions and like teacher stuff already built in right there on the page. So the teacher has to do like nothing except lead a discussion about the current events. It was really cool. I was watching this one today, and they're talking about what's going on in Afghanistan. And so they say the Taliban, and then they take a second to actually explain like what the Taliban is. And you know, and it's just kind of like, that is just really, really cool. So, you know, and we're actually going to submit a video to them, and our kids might be like the introduction, you know, because it's something like, this is John Roth Middle School and you're watching CNN Students. So it's going to be really, really fun. We also watched Top Chef Just Desserts. This is one of those like cooking shows, but this one where they just make desserts, and oh, they all look like so delicious. Like lollipops and cakes and sorbets and pulled sugar towers and molded chocolate. And,
Their quick fire was they had to make a very, very, very small dessert. And yeah, I know you can't see this at home, but like in a container maybe this big
about a quarter, very, very small.
And the winner of that, you know that dessert gum thing that I don't remember who puts
Extra.
It out? Extra, the dessert flavored gum.
Yeah. They have like mint chocolate chip ice cream flavor, and they have all these like dessert
flavors. The winner of their little quick fire, their dessert flavor is going to be one of those gum flavors.
Oh.
So the guy who won was like, what, strawberry pancake something?
Yeah, it looks so good.
So there's pancake gum coming, folks.
Mmm.
For those of us who adore pancakes on a very weird level.
I love pancakes.
Oh, I didn't realize that was you. How about that? Mm-hmm. That all works out then, doesn't it?
The biggest thing in our whole Geeky Week has been Eureka. Okay, we have... I have finally started watching.
I watched 6 episodes of the first season when it first came on.
Yeah, I saw that as well. About four or five.
Four or five. Well, I don't see how you let it go. Okay, so at Dragon Con, you know, our friend...
Shrilla,
right, is like really a big fan of Eureka and Warehouse 13 and all these other shows, and she's going to all these different panels, and we're like, well, I don't know, what is Eureka? So she starts telling me about it. I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. No, I mean, I know that I've heard about it like many times.
Tried to get her to watch it, and it really takes other people to tell her how cool something is before she'll really try it.
So in other words, she doesn't listen to you.
Basically.
Yeah.
We've been busy. So anyway, we're right
for 5 years.
we're in between the summer TV shows aren't on anymore, and the fall season hasn't really started yet, so we've watched 22 episodes
kidding?
Of
Sarah
Eureka.
Michelle Gellar was on TV last night. Thank you.
What was she on TV?
Ringer, that new show. Because new shows are starting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we'll start. CW we'll watch some new shows. We'll see. But yes,
I have no interest in watching
like
that show.
20 episodes. We did a Eureka. Like we basically watched Eureka like a marathon.
You did a Eureka-thon?
Eureka-thon.
Season and a half.
Wow. Jeez.
And for those of you that remember, you know, the early Eureka, I watched it to start with for a very important reason. Maury Shaken was the sheriff in the very first episode, who is best known for being one of the two hackers that Lightman goes to see in War Games. He was also Nero Wolf. He's been in a ton of things. He's no longer with us. Man's a hell of an actor, and I miss him.
I didn't know that he had passed away.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. We used to have this daily show, and we announce things like that.
But now that you mention it, I do remember that.
And it's, you know, in the Nero forums Wolf. At geekradiodaily.com. You know, it's...
I remember you talking about it, but I just don't remember remembering.
And you should watch it. It's a fun little show. It's Erie, Indiana. Remember Erie, Indiana?
Yeah.
Okay, instead of all the weird supernatural stuff,
uh-huh.
Town with Geniuses. It's the same thing, same
show.
Yeah,
so it's a company.
Oh, I know the show. Yeah, I know the show.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
The show.
Anyway.
And Erica Serra's in it, so there you go.
I was going to say, you said the only reason or one of the reasons you were watching
I said reasons. There was a plural there.
There was a plural.
And Colin Ferguson, ladies, who, you know,
is
maybe...
only hot because he's famous.
That's not true.
It's very true.
Because he has a really great smile and very muscly.
That show would be better with Craig Ferguson.
That would be something interesting.
But no, he's a fish out of water. He's an average intelligence guy, but who's a really good problem solver and critical thinker and, you know, detective, essentially, who, you know, solves all these crimes in this town full of geniuses and the sci-fi and the tech. I mean, we are not that far away from some of the stuff that they have here. And it's just kind of, it makes me hopeful about our future. I want to live in Eureka, even though it's dangerous. I'd live there.
I know, because Cafe Diem, I bet they make damn good pancakes, don't they?
Pancakes.
I don't really care for pancakes that much. She just likes pancakes.
I just like pancakes. Uh-huh. I do. I just really like pancakes.
That's the second reference in the last, what, 5-6 minutes?
Because Top Chef Just Desserts had pancakes.
It's just a coincidence.
Okay. It's a coincidence.
And I reserve the right to chime in later, but that has been my geeky sweep.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
We watched 20-some episodes of Eureka. That doesn't leave much time for anything else.
I'll go with that one. All right. So other than the obvious of Dragon Con, I rewatched Forbidden Planet.
Nice.
1956.
Freaking standard.
My family has never seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
Have I seen it?
Of course not.
Okay.
Forbidden Planet.
It's a classic sci-fi movie. You know how long it took me to get you to watch sci-fi stuff to start with? Come on.
Oh, it is.
I don't know if you're ready for Leslie Nielsen in a serious role.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't even realize it's him at first.
Can we call him
Shirley? No.
You know, people forget, but he didn't really do comedy until Airplane.
Until Airplane. He was a serious actor. But this movie, as good as it is, and the special effects surprisingly still hold up today.
They were remarkable for their day.
They were amazing back in the day. They must have been like Avatar quality type of in comparison.
Right.
This movie is just ripe for just joking the hell.
Have they done an MST?
No. A Forbidden Planet? No.
No.
Well, no.
It's one of those. That's like trying to do Star Wars.
Oh,
well, Riff Trax did episodes 1, 2, and 3. So
yeah, well, okay. I meant the good Star Wars.
I know
Wars.
What you mean.
No, I love those three. Yeah, they had three great movies, Star Wars movies. But yes, and just the fun of some of the things they say and how they go through it, and it's like, oh wow, he's actually trying to horn in on that one really quickly.
Well, there's. It's, it was in the original Shakespeare, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's based on Shakespeare, right? Did you know this?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Well, put it on our list.
Okay. Well, it was on the Netflix list, which I don't think is on Watch It Now, so it was on disc, which means now we'll never see it since we no longer have discs.
Oh, so you got that part?
Yeah, we dropped discs.
Okay.
I mean, F them. F them.
If enough people do it, maybe they'll get their heads out of their asses.
No, because they really, really want everyone to go over to just digital, because that's what everybody wants, because nobody wants you to actually own anything anymore. They want you to pay for content.
Well, they need you to start putting everything on Watch
some,
It Now.
Some racing game, and I'm trying to remember which one it is. You know how you can buy new stuff? You can buy new cars in racing games and whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, how's this for downloadable content? Renting cars. You can rent cars to play in the game.
What?
Not own them, rent them. So it means if you want to play it again sometime, you have to go back and rent the car again. F you.
That's DivX. Ridiculous.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
I went there.
And no, kids, for those of you scratching your head, not that DivX, the other one, the really silly one. Go to Wikipedia. It's funny.
Let's see. One of the games I actually purchased at Dragon Con was Monty Python Flux.
Okay.
Excellent, fun game. It takes the original concept of Flux and throws in a metric ton of Monty Python quotes, skits, bits.
5 quotes, 3 quotes, sir.
Yeah. There is actually a rule that says 1, 2, 5, 3, sir, 3. And if the card on the table says 3, it's now 5.
Nice.
You know, if you can sing a Monty Python lyric, a few lyrics from a Monty Python song, you get to draw one. If you have sung something that no one else has sung, you get another card.
Oh, I would kill everyone.
Yeah, you really would.
Oh, yeah. I would
kill everyone.
I played a few games with my wife with that, and I was just like, da-da-da-da-da. And she's like trying to sing something. It's like, that's not Monty Python.
Just because it's British doesn't make it Monty Python.
Oh, it wasn't even British. She was trying. She was trying.
It wasn't even funny.
Monty Python didn't do gangster rap. What the hell are you doing, woman?
Yo, where the knights say me.
Whoa, what?
Let's see. Thundercats, have you been watching this?
Oh, I haven't seen the last two episodes.
We're a little bit behind, but we have been.
This show is... I'm surprised how good this show is.
I got to say, yeah.
The last episode, you'll enjoy this one. One of the characters in there is just absolutely... done so well.
Well, I like how there's actually a story,
yes.
And it's not just every week these toys are fighting these toys, go out and buy them.
Yes.
Toys coming to life.
Essentially.
I'm amazed.
80s, when cartoons were just selling toys.
Yes. Oh, my God.
The transforming Chocobot Energy Hour.
What? That was not a real thing.
No.
It's a Simpsons
but
reference.
It's close.
Pretty much.
It's pretty damn close. My new router. I actually had to buy a new router for my computer.
Okay.
Oh, no.
It was
we have a new router.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
Ish
a couple
enough.
Months now.
Go ahead, Bruce.
The storm actually blew out the last router. That's why I didn't think I had internet to come back.
Mm.
So because I looked at the
didn't
router.
I even ask you that question? Are you sure your hardware is fine?
Yeah,
and I
checked the router, as in the lights, everything was supposed to be the way it was supposed to be. Everything looked like it was supposed to do.
Okay,
so I checked it, and it's like, all right. Well, I came back.
So then, wait, how did you check it?
Shh! I need silence to mind meld with the internet.
Almost.
How do you almost
no,
mind?
No,
okay, thank God.
Yikes.
Thank God.
No, actually, my daughter realized, because I was actually Dragon Con when it happened, so I came back and was like, oh, yeah, this is what's going on. All right, check this. All right, you're right. This is what's going on. So we bought a new router. Everything's up and running. It's
because I told you, I'm like, dude, I have internet. You have to have internet because you live. If I was on steroids, I could throw something and hit your house.
Over the trees, 1 mile.
Yeah, just 1 mile. I mean, George Washington hit it with a silver dollar or whatever the hell it was.
Mm-hmm. Across the Potomac.
Exactly.
Well, if he skipped it.
And then that last bounce flipped up into the air.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get over the trees. Yeah, sure.
We
can
do
see that.
Uh-huh. We can do that.
A dolphin comes up and hits it. I'd like to thank that brave North.
You're not going to
do
a Batman reference,
are you? Do you have a dorsal Flynn? I was going Ace Ventura.
Yeah,
I see a dorsal Flynn, huh?
A dorsal fin Flynn.
You can have a dorsal
Shut up, Bruce.
Wow. Yes.
Pretty much because I want to talk more about Dragon Con. That's going to be my geeky week.
Wow, really? Okay. So my Nintendo 3DS Ambassador program, right the day before we left for Dragon Con, 10 of my 20 free games that I get, boom, were available for download. So, you know, 9-hour car ride, hey. Standing in line for a while, hey. 3DS, awesome. Legend of Zelda was one of the games. Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. I know in all the Zelda games, it's probably the most reviled except for the Philips CDI ones. But it hasn't been there for a while, but so whatever. Balloon Fight. Do you remember Balloon Fight? This
No.
was like the Nintendo knockoff of Joust, except it's much better. You've got this guy, he's got two balloons and a little propeller, and you've got other people, then you bust their balloons, and then it's basically Joust, but
okay.
with guys with balloons. But I had forgotten, just I think it actually does play much, much better than Joust. Crazy stuff. So Avengers, the Avengers cartoon. I've watched, I don't know, 6 or 7 episodes now.
Yeah.
Part of which I watched on my Nintendo 3DS while running a football game at work. Because I can do that.
Yay!
I was like, oh, I'm sitting here. I'm like, well, I could play a game, but I'm trying to sort of pay attention to what's going on here. I could watch. Oh, my God, because I have Netflix on the 3DS. So there you go. So that worked out pretty, pretty well. Pretty well indeed. So comic books, the Flashpoint series. The DC thing that was leading up to all the new issue number ones.
The new 52.
Exactly. And which the Flash, you know, blah, 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 and the world's changed, and no one knows why, and there's all these weird, crazy things. And okay, I don't know how much of a fan I really was of this. Flashpoints are basically, the Flash goes back in time. If you know the Flash's history, his mom was murdered by Professor Zoom, which led to the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. So the Flash goes back in time to save his mom.
Mm.
Saving his mom is what changed the entire DC universe. The butterfly effect, and I'm with you on that, but, I mean, Thomas Wayne is Batman, not Bruce Wayne.
Yeah,
and it's a weird Batman type of thing. It was just a ton of changes that just didn't make any sense whatsoever. So all in all, I'm whelmed. I'm not underwhelmed. I wasn't overwhelmed.
You know,
I was whelmed.
Thank you, Robin.
I was whelmed by this. There was one great moment in it, though. At the end of this, Barry Allen gets the chance to... And they've left the door open because the DC universe that's existing now is not the same one that we know.
Yeah.
Because Clark Kent doesn't work at the Daily Planet. He works at the Daily Star. Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen work at the Daily Planet. Blah, blah, blah. All kinds of crazy stuff like this. But our DC universe, the one that has existed somewhat since the last Earth-changing, continuity-changing event...
2 years ago.
Still exists, right.
Yeah.
Because Barry's given the choice, 3 cosmic treadmills to jump on to get back to, quote-unquote, his time. One of them is the one that, for that universe, one of them was the universe that we knew, and one of them was the new one. So, oops, he picked the one that's the new one. That way they've left the door open. If this doesn't work, they can go back. Oh, no, no. This is just an experiment. Here's all your continuity back, kids.
Retcon.
But the one really great thing that was in it was Thomas Wayne gives Barry Allen a letter to give to Bruce in this new universe.
Yeah.
That was a kind of touching moment in an otherwise somewhat mediocre event. Hey, you know, speaking of the Nintendo 3DS, I beat Ocarina of Time again, so woohoo!
Okay.
What? Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time?
Oh, okay.
It's a fantastic game. It's still like the Zelda game. You can go to hell. You should be... That's awesome.
I have not played a Zelda game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I generally don't own too many Nintendo products. I generally haven't.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Don't you own a Nintendo product now?
No.
Wow. No? That's just wrong, man.
No. My daughter?
Never?
My daughter?
Super Nintendo? NES? Nothing?
Yeah, I had an NES.
Then how did you not play Legend of Zelda?
Never got Legend of Zelda.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
My daughter actually just got herself a micro DS.
Okay.
The really itty bitty, like.
Because that's what I want with a handheld device, is an even smaller screen.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, why do you want this? I just want it. Okay, fine. Well, it's your money.
Well, you know, it was damn fun. The 3D effects on this, fantastic. So I don't know if I'm going to actually go through the Master Quest again, because the last time I did that, it took a while, and I don't know. Because now would be the right time to trade it in for Star Fox or something, but it was a damn fine time, and that really shows off what the system can do. Currently, since you hate Nintendo, I'm I'm playing Donkey Kong Country Returns. This is not made by Rare, which is a little weird, because it's still Donkey Kong Country. It's still that same, you know, side-scrolling, fantastic, fun event. There's just something a little off about it. You can tell that somebody else made it and that they're trying to make it in that style, that genre. It's a good time. I don't know if I'm going to go through and beat the whole thing, but it was somewhat fun. It was somewhat fun. And since everything else is, basically Dragon Con stuff, then I guess that we're sort of done there, which is unusual for us because, wow, look at that. All of us got done in 20 minutes. That's just crazy.
I have an announcement that I would like to make.
Yes, indeed we do.
Do we now?
Yes, indeed we do.
Which is?
The GRD pub crawl.
Yes!
Woohoo!
Because we need to go ahead and start planning this now.
Yes, we do.
Facebook event.
So here, mark your calendars. Saturday, November 5th.
Woo, woo, woo!
Is the GRD pub crawl.
Outstanding.
There it is. Done. Done. It's just that simple. That's not, once again, that's not when the marathon is. So like last year.
Well, two years ago, wasn't it?
I think.
Last year we did not do it.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So like last year, we're not going to have all the crazy crap we've had the years before that with all you silly people who like to run marathons and then want to go drinking.
Silly frackers.
I mean, do you know how bad that is for you? Oh, I'm completely dehydrated. Let me fill that up with alcohol.
They usually hydrate by that time.
Beer is very hydrating.
No, it's not.
I will send you the article.
Go ahead.
Beer is quite hydrating.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Quite. It's a ton of water. How is it not?
It's alcohol as well.
Yeah, but it's American beer. Did I mention that? So so it's really water.
Mm.
You know the difference between... What's the difference between American beer? No, I'm not going to say
that. Da, da, da,
da. Why is American beer like making love in a canoe?
It's effing close to water.
There you go. Was that one of your Flux cards there?
No.
It's a damn shame. So, the GRD pub crawl, November 5th. We hope to see you there, downtown Richmond.
What's the start time?
8 o'clock.
Sounds right.
Okay.
7, 8? Because we're going to go to probably Shenanigan to start with. We're going to put up the event, and you can see it all there, but we usually go somewhere for folks who want to put some food in their stomachs to put a sort of a buffer with all the alcohol you're about to dump the hell
over
yourself.
Yeah, we're definitely starting at Shenanigan. That soup with the...
Damn right. The baked potato soup. Hells yeah.
Okay. So Shenanigan. I always get that wrong. At 8 o'clock.
Yeah, sure.
Let's do that then.
Thank you. I'm so glad.
Let's do that then.
Fantastic.
Glad you approve.
So, people won Parsec Awards.
Yes, they did. They did win Parsec Awards. Let's see. I was starting off with this one.
That's what we've said. Yes.
I'm making sure.
Because you're yellow.
Yes, because I'm yellow. She color-coded everything.
Because yellow means start.
Yeah, because I can see the color coding.
I color-coded it on my sheet, bitches.
Uh-huh. All right. For the 2011 Parsec Awards, we don't need to do that.
Wow.
We really
don't. No rhythm whatsoever. Really.
Wow, you are terminally Caucasian, aren't you?
I'm tired.
Dot, 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 dot.
The best speculative fiction short form goes to Saying of the Names by Maggie Clark.
Maggie!
See, you just said her name.
And you lose the game, so stop.
That was funny, and you know it.
It was quite humorous, I suppose. Best speculative fiction story in novella form was Kissing Man and the Gentleman by Scott Sigler. Scotty Sig. I have no. Who is this? Who is this guy?
Sigler.
By the way, Sigler, I tell you now, you give me credit for this and you can do this. You need to have an event that's called the Sigularity. Think about it.
Oh,
okay. Think about it. Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
You want free tickets now.
That and a bunch of alcohol.
Damn right. There you go.
Alcohol.
Best speculative fiction story long form is Owner Share by Nathan Lowell.
Lowell.
I said it wrong the first time.
Each time. Blah. That's fine.
Whatever. I'm tired. But that's a really good story.
It is. Mm-hmm. Good times.
Best speculative fiction audio drama short form is The Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd by Grant and Doug Price.
By Grant and Doug Price.
Because
they're brothers or married.
Yes.
What are you doing?
That was the microphone going out.
That's a good one. Best speculative fiction audio drama long form, HG World by Jay Smith. Congratulations to you, sir.
Yay. And we skipped around. We're not doing all of them, but best speculative fiction comedy / parody podcast is Technorama.
Which is like the spinoff to Futurama, which goes to show you just how great that really, really
is. Check out the full list at
Parsecawards.com.
Wow.
I'm fired. I need to just stop talking.
Okay, then.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So Fox has a new show they're going to cancel for you.
Outstanding. What is it?
Why, it's The Spectre, based on the DC Comics. Spectre.
Yes.
Fox has bought The Spectre, of course, created by Jerry Siegel, Bernard Bailey. Brandon Camp, who did the show John Doe, is going to write the adaptation. Of course, it's a former cop serving time in the afterlife who hunts down earthly criminals. So it's sort of taking that story. I don't know if he's going to be the actual spirit of vengeance, hand of God that he became in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
But another comic book property. So Fox, can you do me a favor? Can you keep it more like season one Human Target and not season two? I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Is he going to wear the robe too?
I'm hoping.
I hope. He won't. Well, it's maybe, Fox. They won't have the budget for it.
They could get NBC to just give him the props from the cape and just...
Diet Green.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that works for me. All right. J.J. Abrams, we got news about him. Well, sort of news. It's maybe news. It could possibly not be news.
If you haven't heard it, it's news to you.
Yes. Well, it might actually be true. Hopefully, it's true. He will be directing Star Trek 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
And
okay, didn't we know that or no?
No.
It was not officially confirmed until about 4 a.m. So
pretty much he has the people close to him have said that pre-production has already begun and shooting will start sometime this winter. The script is coming together and should be done as soon as the writer Alex Kurtzman, who co-wrote the first one,
Robert Rossi. Those guys have been writing everything in Hollywood. Yeah. So,
well, he's still working on putting the finishing touches on Welcome to People. For DreamWorks. This is his first picture as a director. So as soon as he gets done with that, he's going to finish working on the script.
I really want to do is direct.
Exactly. So basically, since 2009, they went, hey, you going to do the next one? He went, I don't know.
So he said, hey, what happens?
I don't know. I need to order out more lens flare.
I was going to say that. More lens flares there?
I need to stick your joke.
That's okay. We turn the lens flares on, we can save $10 million.
Sure.
So go ahead.
$10 million.
Yes, so Star Trek 2, Electric Boogaloo, J.J. Abrams.
Sweet. Well, Billy Flynn, one of your lifelong dreams may be a little bit closer.
They're going to send me into space?
Actually, maybe.
That's ours.
Wow. Okay.
Well, not really so much. But NASA is seriously actually running out of astronauts.
Okay.
Wow.
The White House directed NASA to do an assessment. Basically, the White House thought that they would end up having too many astronauts, and then, something you need to cut.
What I'm going to need you to do is
move your desk back. Move the
Could you
lunar
move it on to Mars? That would
yeah, well, oh, grab your red swing line, because they actually are short astronauts. They just do not have enough, qualified, viable candidates. I mean, you think of everything that goes into becoming an astronaut, so the National Research Council has released a report that they have low numbers of qualified astronauts, and they just may not be able to do as much human space flight operations. So young people out there, study your math and science, as long as you have perfect eyesight and,
perfect
maybe
eyesight.
You could be an astronaut.
We don't have a space program right now. Right now, the amount of astronauts is kind of what
yeah,
we're used to be.
Yeah, but you don't make an astronaut overnight.
No.
True. You don't
gotta
make a space program overnight either.
Gotta start working on it.
One day. So these are all fun things that you can learn about by checking out the forums at geekradiodaily.com. Stop by Facebook and Twitter, because you'll learn all kinds of things. Like the Nintendo 3DS second analog pad.
What?
Ooh.
Johnny Depp's really weird Michael Jackson makeup for Dark Shadows. And
yeah.
A TARDIS for your cat. These and other things you can learn about. It's just that kind of fun.
Apes don't read philosophy.
Yes, they do, Otto. They just don't understand it.
That's my favorite of all time.
You know, there's nothing better than audio fiction unless, of course, you can get it for absolutely damned free.
Free?
That's
free.
What I said. And there's plenty of free, fantastic, fun things available at podiobooks.com, including...
Well, you please welcome to tonight, James Keeling. He's a, you know, fans of Scott Sigler may know his name, but you don't know his work yet. But that'll change with Compensating Controls. Nicholas Edgewood rides a wave of good karma... Why do you start snickering like that? Nicholas Edgewood.
Because it's always you that is end up compensating about things. Nicholas Wright.
Something along those lines.
Thank you, yes.
No.
Compensating for his pancakes.
Yes.
Because you seem to think it's an in-joke, I'm just going to keep saying pancakes.
Okay, we'll go with that one.
All right.
Nicholas Edwidge rides a wave of a good karma job he excels at, a new girlfriend, and a bright future. When he gets framed for a cybercrime he did not commit, he must run for his life while the entire world crumbles around him. Betrayal and murder replace peace and hope as he finds himself in unfamiliar territory. He may not be the biggest or baddest guy out there, but he has skills, the kind garnered from a career steeped in computers and code. He must learn... Let's see, he must leverage these skills to the fullest to stay above the ground and breathing. It will take all of his talent and the courage he may not have just to survive.
Dun, 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 dun.
Whoa. All right, this one is called This Path We Share, Reflecting on 60 Years of Marriage. Wow, 60 years. By Lois T. Helmstad. Helmstad.
I'm sorry, what?
Helmstad.
Everyone's a little bit racist.
Bork, bork, bork.
All right.
Please don't hate us.
Hate her.
Why did a shy farm boy from North Dakota and an obstreperous 17-year-old from South Dakota meet in Colorado? What? How did they forge a relationship that lasted more than 6 decades? Lois...
I'm sure we'll learn about it on Dateline with Chris Hansen.
Helmstad, author of Fine Black Lines and The Last Violet, now shares her poignant story of a marriage that has thrived against the odds. Richly detailed with a deep understanding of life. And this is actually narrated by super hottie Starla Hutchins.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean,
yeah. How can
sold
you lose?
Right there. Also today, you can get The Emperor's Edge by Lindsay Baroker. Imperial law enforcer Araminthe Lockton is good at her job. She can deter thieves and pacify thugs, if not with a blade, then by toppling an 8-foot pile of coffee canisters onto their heads.
Dun, dun, dun.
Damn right. But when ravaged bodies show up on the waterfront, and arson covers up human sacrifices, and a powerful businessman coalition plots to kill the emperor, she feels a tad overwhelmed. Not whelmed, mind you.
Just overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. Worse, Sicarius, the empire's most notorious assassin, is in town. He's tied in with the chaos somehow, but Araminthe would be a fool to cross his path. Unfortunately, her superiors order her to hunt him down.
Damn.
Either
straight.
Way, they have an unprecedented belief in her skills, or someone wants her dead.
Dun, dun, dun.
So these and so many other things that you just wouldn't even possibly believe are all available for you absolutely free over at patiobooks.com.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Yes, indeed we do, and we're going to jump right into it. Let's see, where are we going to jump into it at first? How about here? Longtime listener, first-time emailer here. I just listened to your End of the World episode and had a lot of fun with it. Disaster movies are always a lot of fun. Although there's been a string of real stinkers lately from sci-fi, but that's why I wrote. I even rewatched Michael Bay movies, The King of Disaster Porn, just to rewatch the grand disaster portions. Stupid stories and bad dialogue, but fantastic special effects. But the reason I'm emailing is to recommend my favorite disaster movie, Super Volcano.
What?
Super Volcano.
This one is that?
Cape.
This one is a little hard to find, but I really recommend you try. It's a BBC/Discovery Channel collaboration on a TV movie, mixing drama portions with mockumentary interviews about the Yellowstone supervolcano erupting again. And for Brit-American production, it has a lot of Canadian actors for some reason, so Ethan from Screen Geeks would really like that. I taped this one a couple of years ago, and I pull it out regularly to rewatch. Shut up, Bruce. Wow, really? You? Okay.
Yep.
No, I'm sorry, Bruce.
Oh,
shut up, you.
Oh, it's always me that makes the jokes.
Yeah, usually, except for this one time. This is the one time it hasn't been. They worked with experts to make the lead, up to the eruption, the first half of the movie, and what happens after as scientifically realistic as possible. The writing is great and the acting is first rate in my book. And that's from Leanne. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you for writing, Leanne.
Good stuff. I can't wait to have Ben and Jerry's sweaty balls in my mouth.
that's real.
So of all the ice cream flavors you could make based on Saturday Night Live characters, really? Sweaty balls. Why not just make the state and just go, I dipped my balls in it, ice cream, because I think that'd be kind of cool. So speaking of dipping your balls in things, here's a message from T. Morris.
Hey, guys. It's T. Morris. Just finished listening to GRD 130 about disaster movies. You make me feel vindicated that I am a geek and that I know this stuff that really would get me ostracized at parties. But let's go back. What we were talking about disaster films, and you did not evoke the name of the patron saint of disaster movies. He literally was called the Master of Disaster, Irwin Allen.
We talked about all his movies and didn't mention him.
Inferno.
Yeah.
He did the Poseidon Adventure.
Yep.
And he was also, he got a start by doing Lost in Space and Land of the Giants.
Danger, danger.
For CBS, if I remember correctly. And what killed the genre, at least from my opinion, what killed the genre was the last Airport movie. It was Airport 79. As Billy said, it was set on the Concorde. It was horrible. A lot of people from previous films were in this turkey. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Concorde's flying at supersonic speeds, and then a bomb goes off, so it goes into a flat spin.
Dun, dun,
and this is big because this was the post Star Wars generation of special effects. One that stands out for me for the Airport films is Airport 77. And I think at the time, the 747s were the big targets. And what they did was they took they had some terrorists. They got on board. They knocked everybody out. And they're trying to hijack this 747, but they hit something. I can't remember exactly what they hit, but they land in the middle of the ocean and then they sink. But they land on a shelf. So this 747. Still intact is underwater, and that was the gimmick. Was they were underwater, they were slowly running out of air, and everybody was trying. Oh, Gerard is in this movie. Christopher Lee is in this movie. I mean, it was just a good time was had by all of Disaster Arena.
And so, that one is a really weird one because it was basically crossing the airport movies with the Poseidon Adventure, so which is just odd. We'll be checking back in with T in just a moment. Hi, gang. I'll keep this brief. Just wanted to say that I enjoyed the bejesus out of seeing your live show at Dragon Con and meeting you all.
Yay!
Even if it was only for a few moments. For reference, I was the tall, awkward Australian who ran into Flynn and the very, very, that's all capital letters, lovely Flintstress in the Marriott on Friday morning and later got the primo seats at the live recording. Considering that the was wearing a kilt, I'm glad you guys were behind a table. Don't know if you're doing a Dragon Con wrap-up show. I'm still on holiday in the States, but if you are, special mention must go to the Seventh Doctor himself, Sylvester McCoy.
Yes.
Performing the entire Stonehenge monologue from the Pandorica Opens at the Friday panel. It was exactly amazing as it sounds. Love the show even more now, and until I can make it to another Dragon Con and buy you all a beer, just one you'll have to share, make mine GRD. That's from Bronze Thumb. Dude, you could have hung out with us more. I thought you were busy or whatever, but yeah, dude, it was awesome. Friday morning, we're walking over something, and this guy stops and is like, hey, are you Billy Flynn of the Flintstress?
Why, yes, we are, sir.
And he did that voice and that pose right there.
You're damn right, I did.
I know you. That's exactly what you did.
You stand akimbo anytime you can. That was awesome. Great times. But we'll talk about that because, yeah, lots of fun people came out. And it was really good to see you, too. And we'll buy you a beer, although I'll drink half of it since you're going to make us split one.
Disaster films, they have a soft spot for me, too. There's one I remember called Starflight 1, The Plane That Couldn't Land. This was a made-for-TV film. Lee Majors was the guy who wanted to be the astronaut, but he couldn't make the cut to be an astronaut. So he becomes instead this luxury airline pilot. And he gets a prototype plane that apparently is ultra supersonic, but it goes so fast and so high, and they misjudge angle, and they're trying to save people in the plane. So what happens? It gets into a suborbital flight, and
can't
come back down because they'll burn on reentry. So they send up a shuttle to try to save everybody. That doesn't work, and yada yada. So how they figure it out, how they bring everybody back, that was always the fun trope of a disaster film. How are they going to fix everything? The way they figure it out,
missiles.
Starflight 1, is they position the ultra supersonic jet above the second shuttle that they send up. And
sure.
Then they use the second shuttle as just this giant heat shield. And that apparently is what saves the day. So yeah, there's a little bit of geek nostalgia for you. Starflight 1, the plane that couldn't land.
I'm gonna have to find that one.
That sounds actually kind of interesting.
I know. It's probably cheesy
as
all get out.
It's probably horrible, but still.
I wonder if Lee Majors is sober on set. I'm kidding,
oh.
Lee. We know you weren't. So Jonathan sent a mail as well.
Hey guys, it's Jonathan from Birmingham. I was at Dragon Con, missed you guys for your recording Friday night. Long story short, I had to take the train from Birmingham to Atlanta, and I didn't get to Atlanta until about 9 o'clock, so I missed you guys.
Aww.
7, which sucks. I wanted to be there and meet you guys. I just listened to it on my iPod, just downloaded it today, with it being Wednesday after Dragon Con.
Nice.
I was hoping I'd see you guys somewhere in the convention centers, but I guess I missed you guys there, too. Hopefully next year we can meet and get drunk and play some laser tag or whatever since we missed each other. Hope you guys had fun. I had a blast. Took a bunch of pictures. I'll share them with you. But keep up the great work. I'm catching up on all your podcasts because my computer's been down for the past
your
2 months.
Your computer or your router?
Oh, no. Every weekend.
You might
want to
check
been
your
watching
router.
A bunch of movies, X-Men First Class, and Blitz with Jason Statham, or however you say his name. And Fast 5, again, I have them on my computer. Don't ask.
Okay.
You know how I got it, since you guys do it the same way.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Talk to you guys
later. Bye. Later, dude. That's a shame that you didn't get down there till then. And it's not like you couldn't have found us. I mean, Dragon Con's only so big. How did you not run into
us? Yeah, really?
I mean...
I kept seeing the same people over and over again.
I know. That's what's crazy, right? You know, you kept seeing the same people again and again. So I don't know how we missed you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we come to... closing out the trilogy of tea.
And as far as favorite disaster films,
right into it.
I really think when it comes down to it, that my favorite of all the disaster films, again, you guys didn't mention it, but brilliant Hindenburg. George G. Scott was in this movie. The guy that plays LeBeau on the Hogan's Heroes, he was in this movie. His dog lives in this movie. And it was intriguing. What if? Threw in a lot of theories about what could have happened with the Hindenburg.
The Hindenburg.
And
okay.
We were so separated.
Oh, my God, they're trying to kill T.
We can make that separation,
sweet.
Unlike with the United 93 and World Trade Center. But with the
what?
That's definitely my favorite of all the disaster films. That one holds up. Big Bus. Man, did I laugh
the big bus.
When I watched the big
bus.
That was,
oh,
that,
yeah.
That film is what Airplane... that was the first airplane, was the big bus. And if you haven't seen it, there's a great line where they break the wind barrier at 90 miles an hour, and Ned Beatty stands up and he goes, "Congratulations, man, you're breaking wind at 90. Great stuff. I mean, great stuff. that was a trip down memory lane, guys. So thanks a lot, and go Irwin Allen. You were the man. Later.
Later, sir. It was like a 6-minute voicemail.
Wow.
Hey, that you know, the disaster movies really are popular. People really love them.
And especially, you know, if you grew up any time around the 70s, you know, it's ingrained.
That's
because
all you had.
That was like the golden age for disaster movies.
It was that and the Planet of the Apes sequels.
Some of those were really good.
Some.
Not the second one. Not the fifth one. But some of them were pretty damned good. Pretty damned good. So if you'd like to drop a message, please do. It's podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinch, result at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could send voicemails to
206-3-FUN-HECK.
To where now?
206-3-FUN-HECK.
And one more time, because someone's sitting right there on the edge of a chair.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
That's almost as good as pancakes. So please, drop a... I love that you're cracking up. I love this.
I love the little running gag here.
It's
going on.
Good stuff. So, yeah, so if you'll just hang on just a moment, we will be right back to talk about all the fun, fantastical, wondrous things that happened at the magical land known as Dragon Con.
Action.
He saw someone lean out from a corner and heard a soft pop. Plaster exploded behind him as the bullet plowed into the wall. Whoever it was that was shooting at them wasn't concerned about the law when it came to opening fire on burglars, but they were concerned enough to use silencers. We need to hit the warehouse and hit it hard. You got the grenades?
Yep.
Jose pulled one from his pocket. The MAC-10 filled his other hand.
Let's do it.
The supernatural.
Lana closed her eyes and began to hum and sway, rocking forward and backward. Her left hand came up to chest level, the fingers coming together to make a point. She then let the hand glide through the air, stopping over one of the bullet holes. Fingers pointed down. The first time Evan saw what happened next, he blinked hard. A small cluster of digits plunged into the bloody hole. Without any discomfort on the part of Lana, and seemingly without making the hole larger, she went in up to her wrist. When her hand came out, there was a slug nestled snugly among her fingertips. That happened 3 times. Each time, the bullet was dropped in the middle of the white square.
All of this and more can be found in the podcast series Archangel by Scott Roche. Join the battle against evil at archangelnovel.com.
Hi, I'm Trace Palou from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Hi, this is Frank Conniff, also from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
And you're listening to what again? What are you listening to?
I believe this show is called Geek Radio Daily. Radio Geek Daily, Daily Geek Radio Thing, thing that's a Radio Geek show.
Nah.
Whatever it is, you can call it whatever you want, and you are lucky enough to be listening to
it. Who would name a thing like that?
I don't know. It's a crazy name for a show. The kids today with the crazy names that they come up with, I don't get it.
Just push the button, Frank.
Okay.
Stormtroopers groundwoods and doctors galore, throwing Trekkies and Trekkers and the Fantastic Four. There are too many costumes to fit in one song. They are fitted at Dragon Con. It's where the geeks gather and the nerds can be heard. We're fine fellow fans, just that house yours. Whatever you're into happen to be, come let your inner fanatic run free. With autographs, fans, and parties to boot, it's 4 days of crazy, no matter what you're into. Follow a track or pick what sounds fun. Who needs sleep when you're at Dragon Con? It's where the geeks gather and the nerds can be heard. Where you'll find fellow fans, despite how's yours. Whatever you're into happens to be, come let your inner fanatic run free.
Thank you so much for sticking around, and welcome to GRD's Weekly, episode 132.
Yep, absolutely correct.
You sure you checked that?
Yes.
All right, cool.
It's still on the same list I have.
Nice. That's good stuff. So yeah, we were at Dragon Con. Dear God, Dragon Con.
Dear God, yes.
If you've never been, it's like impossible. You know, people ask me, oh, how was it, or what did you go and you do? And you try to explain it, but there's just no explaining it.
I think the best explanation I've ever heard of Dragon Con was, it's geek Mardi Gras.
It is.
That's not a bad one, yeah.
It is my Mecca.
Yes.
Is what it is.
You can be whoever you want to be for, you know, 4 days, whoever you
four
really
and a half
truly
days
are.
Now.
Yeah. You can dress up in crazy costumes or just take pictures of everybody who, you know, who is.
And we do take over Atlanta. We do.
Pretty much, yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Take over.
In a couple of blocks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's people that love us for that, and then there's the damn college football people.
Yep. And the business people who are like, why is everybody in the Peachtree Mall trying to get lunch at the same time?
Oh, they know.
They know.
No, they don't. Because I actually had somebody behind me in line one time. I was like, what are you people doing here?
Oh, well, the people who actually run the places, they know.
Yeah, they know.
Yeah.
Forget the norms, man. Forget those guys.
No, but I love to go into the food court there at the Peachtree Mall and you see like normal, wizard. You know?
Sitting at a table together.
And then ninja.
Yeah.
And then it's just like the mix. Or like the anachronistic, you have like a period timepiece, you know, like a steampunk costume, and they're eating a Big Mac. You know, it's just kind of like the out of context stuff. Wasn't there somebody taking pictures of people in costumes eating food?
Yeah, apparently, and I haven't seen it. I've been back to the website. I'll have to check, but they were doing this whole montage of people eating food in costume.
Mm-hmm.
So a guy took a picture of me in my steampunk outfit biting into a piece of slice of Papa John's pizza, if I remember
right. Which they certainly didn't have in the Victoria era.
Not to that extent. Not Papa John's.
No. Well, I didn't say I didn't have the box there with me. Okay. But I was sitting, you know, in the lobby of the Hilton at the time. So that might have had something to do with it. So right away, let's just get off on the thread of, hey, the Hilton, I've been staying at your hotel for years now.
Uh-oh.
So first off, when I made my reservation last year when I checked out,
mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have screwed up my reservation between then and now.
Oh, boy.
Because instead of two double beds,
mm-hmm.
they had one king-size bed, which wouldn't have been so bad, but, you know, there's four people in our room.
Okay.
That's
and
problem.
We're not that good of friends.
No, we're not. No, we are not. So I walked up with my Southern accent and was prepared to be just completely offended by mm-hmm. the implication that I would be sharing a bed with anyone other than my wife, especially a man. So...
Good job. Go
so
for it.
They did put us into a room, which the room next to us was making a very weird, weird, loud sound. So they found us another room.
Okay.
Which
so
was weird.
Room three.
Yeah, which was weird because at first they said, we don't have any double rooms left, but they managed to find two in the space of 45 minutes. So that's impressive.
And they moved somebody else around, I mean, maybe.
So Hilton, here's the other reason why you just need to bend over and kiss my ass. You know how you leave a credit card on file with them in case of
yes.
stuff, whatever?
Yeah.
They went ahead and put a hold for the entire cost of the room on my card.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Thanks for not telling me that that's what you were doing, too. That's the best part about it of all, is when you go, oh, we'll just need a card on file. Sure, here you go. So not only the cost of the room, but the $50 a night they want to charge you for incidentals in case mm-hmm. you use them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they added that to it as well.
Ooh.
Yeah. So the Hilton... Bite my ass. That's bullshit, okay? Bullshit. I don't care that some guy got drunk last year and knocked a goddamn window out of your hotel. It wasn't me. And if you go back and look at my stay with you folks, I'm outstandingly fantastically awesome. And next goddamn year...
Because that's in the file.
You bet. Yes, it is. Because I have them do that every year.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't put that in my file. You're damn right I do. Because So, yeah. Get that shit straight. So, let's move on to the awesome stuff.
Yes.
Let's
start off with the very, very beginning of everybody's con for the most part. Not the travel down, but pre-registration.
Okay.
Outstanding.
Well, yeah, I pre-registered
when it worked,
easily.
Yeah.
I bought the tickets on.
Yes.
Oh, you mean actually picking up my badges?
Yeah, the pre-registration. Mm-hmm.
So, was anybody here? Oh, like you had to wait in line. Bruce.
Yeah.
Love you.
Did the computers work when you went?
Yes.
Okay. I heard horror stories from people.
Yes.
They
yes,
have a new system.
Too.
For those of you that have been to Dragon Con and this year you didn't go, that big damn table at the set of tables at the back with all the letters of the alphabet and that you're waiting in line to go to,
yeah, that's
no
gone.
More.
That's gone.
You can go to any of those tables to pick up your badge.
And they actually had more of them this year because they actually had 20 stations
they
this
did.
Year. They had 20 stations this year and they had one person standing at the end of the line going, you go to table three, you go to four, you go to five, you go to da-da-da-da-da-da.
Sounds somewhat efficient.
It does,
and when
which
the
is
computers
nice.
Crash, it was just as bad as it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
The computers were working when I got there, so
yeah.
Leaving the Hilton, walking over to the, what is it?
The Sheraton.
The Sheraton, thank mm-hmm. you. Walking over to the Sheraton, standing in a small line that was outside, a mm-hmm. small line, getting my badge, walking back to the Hilton, took me a total of 40 minutes.
Wow.
Wow.
That, I got you beat there.
Yeah, well, you do, because apparently the computers had been up for about 10 or 15 minutes when I got there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was clearing
through
some
clearing
of the blood.
Them out, yes. When I got there, the computers had been up and running. I come from the MARTA station, jog down to, because I'm coming there about 6 o'clock on Thursday night. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to have this humongous line. Every second I wait, it's going to be five more people in line. I get down there and they're like, where's the line? I just go inside. Or what?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to ask twice.
Yeah, right? Sure.
I jump in there.
You think you're some like VIP.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. So I go through the line ride.
Right.
Up and back, there was three or four. There was like the small bundles of people that were all walking at about the same pace, doing this back and forth, back and forth. I think I was in a standing still position for about 30 to 45 seconds cumulatively.
Wow.
Okay. And that includes the time when I went up to gate number three and got my badge.
Techno Guru and Shrilla said that from the time they walked into the hotel, they
uh-huh.
were out in 3 minutes.
I was out in 10 because
wow.
I had slow people in front of me walking slower. Otherwise, on that, it would be
jerks. Well, it was awesome. There was a little bit of a line outside. Once we walked inside and we got into the room itself,
yeah.
like we're just like walking lap, 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 lap. And then like about two rows before, that's when it slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
But it never came to that grinding, ignorant halt.
Yes.
That it did last year and years before.
So people, if you are hiding from, you don't want to do the pre-registration, do it. Because it's worth the
it's worth it because
you pay less to get your ticket anyway.
Yes.
And the line for the people who forgot their passes was a lot slower.
That's good stuff. So
because you had the thing and scan on the thing, or did you scan from
you
the card?
Up, yeah, you walked up to your cards, you went to any station, and they scanned it. And when they did, very quickly, a laser printer in like 5 seconds printed out your little thing that they put on a badge and handed to you.
Yep.
And you could go to any table to do that. And all I could think of the whole time was, this is fantastic, and why the hell have you not been doing this for years?
Hey, listen, I'm glad they did it this year.
I've been saying for years you need to fix this system.
Yeah, they finally got it, and it's great.
Well,
it's
after people stood in line last year for 7 to 8 hours, they realized they had to do something.
Yeah, they really did.
And it transitioned to the other amazing, oh my God, why haven't they been doing this the whole time, the DragonCon app. We talked about this a little bit on the show, how awesome is that? Like, right now I've got it up so that I can go back and look at everything that we did. Now, of course, I didn't do everything that was on this schedule.
No, neither
did I. But, it was awesome. And, of course, there's like one or two little things that I could recommend as far as improvement, but it was awesome. Awesomeness.
Yeah, there were very few things.
We're living in a new age, people.
I'm telling you, it's special. And so any con that you go to, the people that made this app make apps for cons. So every con that you're going to be going to, you should call them and recommend them pick up this company and have them do it because...
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, for instance, one of the dealing room upstairs... I was looking for something. The guy's like, my steampunk gun? I was looking for a holster for it.
Oh, okay.
Because this one guy upstairs in the dealer room actually was selling my gun repainted with like a little fake bayonet at the bottom.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you've got this gun. Do you have a holster for it? He's like, no, but I've got a buddy at the room downstairs who sells one specifically for this gun.
And I bought one.
Yeah, and
I did
bought
too.
One too.
Yeah.
Because apparently that gun is just a really popular steampunk
gun. We're talking about the Mavericks, the Nerf Mavericks.
Now, the one that we have... wouldn't have been so badass if it wasn't for the treatment of Susan Z. I mean, the way that she painted it and distressed it and everything.
Oh,
I mean,
thank you again.
You have
for
the
that,
best one of
awesome.
That gun that I've ever seen.
Yes, yes.
People have that gun, but they don't have that gun.
That paint job, because people hold it because she put rust on parts of it. It feels like it's rusted in parts. So when people take the gun and they're like, "What?" It blows their mind for a moment because it kind of feels like a metal gun. So dude tells me the name of the place that's downstairs, and I look it up on the map because there's a map of the dealer rooms. I'm like, okay.
Okay, ILG.
This way. Here it is. Hey, there it is right there. So yeah, very crazy helpful app. Very.
Amazingly so. It was
so Friday.
Stuff. Friday.
What did we do Friday? We met Bronze Thumb. Woohoo!
We woke up.
We did wake up.
Yeah, and we did.
Started there.
Radio Deli.
Well, that was much later in the evening.
That's Friday. God, we walked around and took pictures. Can we talk costumes for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay.
It's Dragon
Con. By far, I think the number one most costumed was Doctor Who related stuff.
Yep.
There were Amy's.
Yeah.
There were doctors, lots of different kinds of doctors, which was great to see. There were tons of Matt Smiths, obviously, and tons of David Tennant. But there were also, some of the older. Who did you see?
I saw Paul McGann. Someone was dressed as Paul McGann's doctor, the doctor from the Fox TV movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no one ever dresses as him.
Yeah.
There was him. There was a couple of Sylvester McCoys. I don't know so much that I can say that all the people that were dressed as Tom Baker were supposed to be Tom Baker so much as they just had Tom Baker's scarf. Yeah.
But
I was particularly impressed with the amount of TARDIS inspired costumes.
A lot of women in dresses, maybe one guy, but a lot of women in dresses that were dressed as the TARDIS. And a few of them dressed as Daleks.
Yeah. A steampunk Dalek was a good one.
The guy had a TARDIS suit, which I thought was very, very impressive. like okay, that's pretty cool. And ladies, I heard one guy say it to you, and I did walk over to apologize, and you and I, we had a really good laugh. Guys, if you see anybody, especially a woman, but anybody dressed in a TARDIS costume, don't walk up and ask if it's bigger than
the inside.
That's not clever, and you're only going to make Bruce laugh because...
Oh, yeah, I'm the only person laughing at that joke.
Yeah, you are, because then you're dangerously close to being that guy.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's tough.
Of all the cons you could be that guy at, you don't want to be that guy at Dragon Con. not at Dragon Con.
There were also a gazillion and a half...
Who would ever go up to a woman and say that, though?
There were a gazillion and a half zombies, of course, as well. And I thought it was also really creative that people would do zombies and other things. So not just zombies, but like we saw some steampunk zombies. We saw some zombie superheroes, Star Trek zombies. I even saw the roller derby zombies. So, I mean, there were definitely tons of good zombies.
Something I thought was really impressive was these two guys were walking around as the Skipper and Gilligan. But at night, they were zombie versions of the Skipper and Gilligan.
There you go. They were from the other side of the island.
Exactly. Well, if they don't make it.
If they don't make it.
So... there was that.
A lot of good costumes. A lot of the Marvel, a lot of DC, a lot of independents. I even dressed up, and you guys dressed up as well.
Yeah.
Both of you had your steampunk gear on. I had the Jane Cobb from Firefly gear going on Sunday night. So
you had the hat.
Yeah, I had the hat and the shirt. And
you know, you could take that outfit you have, tweak it very mildly, and be Finn from Adventure Time as well.
Really?
Which I think you should. There was quite a few Finns from Adventure Time.
There were a ton of them.
At one point, separately, three different people, there was a Finn, Princess Fiona, and the Ice King, just all separately. And this one guy...
Princess Buttercup, yeah.
I'm sorry, I said Fiona. Wow.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see Princess
Shrek.
Fiona. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I meant something really good.
The first one was good.
The first one was.
The first
but
one
the
was
other
good.
Ones have really diluted the good memories I had from the first one. This guy who was Finn was like, he walked by and there was a Buttercup and he's like, oh my God. And then Ice King comes walking and he's like, oh, we got to get a picture together, which is really cool. If you're dressed as Finn from Adventure Time and we walk up and go, what time is it? Don't look at your goddamn watch.
One person out of everybody, okay? And most of the time when I was asking people this, I was a little bit inebriated. But, you know.
A little bit.
No, but my delivery was impeccable. So I'd be like, excuse me, could you help me, please? What time is it? You know, just kind of deadpan or whatever.
Yeah.
And I definitely got at least one person who started to pull out their telephone to look and see what time it was.
Yeah.
Only one. Everyone else responded, it's Adventure Time!
There was the one guy who went, oh, wait, let me check. Oh, it's Adventure!
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So he's
Right, he sold it. He was the best.
So good times. So Friday panels, which, wow, I should have my phone because that would probably help. But I went to see the Sylvester McCoy panel. Wow. Sylvester McCoy was there. A doctor was at Dragon Con. That's just flipping awesome.
And he played the spoons.
He played the goddamn spoons. This lady got up with her phone and one of her ringtones is like the Doctor Who theme and she starts playing it. And Sylvester McCoy plays the spoons. And he whips out some spoons and starts... beating out a little rhythm to the Doctor Who theme with spoons.
Wow.
Flipping awesome. And also, if you were following Twitter and everything, you saw where I posted. He was talking about the various new doctors and stuff. And he mentions Christopher Eccleston, what a great job he did bringing it back. But he said about Christopher Eccleston, he does the dramatic very well. Comedy is not his forte, fifth tay or sixth tay.
That's good.
At the same time as you were at that panel, I was at the Walking Dead panel.
Really? They had two Walking Dead panels that day?
Oh, wait.
Because you and I went to a Walking Dead panel later that day.
Oh, wait, we went to
day.
A panel.
You were at the Back to the Future panel.
Back to the Future panel, that's right. I do have that on
here. Oh, my God, Back to the Future zombies. Butthead.
No, that was a good one. You know, Doc Brown and the principal, Principal Strickland, were on the panel.
The principal is still alive.
Yes, and he looks exactly the same. He's not. He's
You're
not
all slackers.
Today. He did. He did call everyone in the audience slackers, which
there
is
you
pretty
go.
Awesome. And it was just really interesting. They're both sort of like... Definitely, I don't know. I mean, Christopher Lloyd, in particular, definitely has done a lot of drugs or something.
I was wondering if
just a little bit, kind of out of it. But it was fun. Yeah, they had fun. I think.
He was tired from the 4 day of. Oh wait, it was the first day.
It was the first day. The first thing we went to.
Speaking of the principal from Back to the Future, and I totally spaced on this earlier. Did you see that they're re-releasing Top Gun to theaters in 3D? Okay, thank you. The first 3D gay porn I know of. So what else happened on Friday? You with the list?
Walking Dead panel.
Walking Dead panel was awesome.
Yeah, that was really fun.
They dropped a couple spoilers in that one, didn't they?
Yeah, at least one big one.
They were also, the crew was late. So the guy who was hosting the panel, who's also an extra on the show, he plays a zombie.
Yeah.
He's just riffing because they were trying to drive from their hotel over.
Yeah.
Friday morning Dragon Con.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, it took 20 minutes to go, what did they say, 3-4 blocks?
Yeah.
Walk it.
But it was
pretty
fun.
Well, they realized that later.
I actually got up at that panel and asked a question. I know, and I've only ever done that like with Gareth David Lloyd. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it was pretty funny.
So I was trying to figure out who you wanted to sleep with on that panel.
Oh, stop.
She has to limit herself?
Notice she didn't.
She has to limit herself?
Yeah, because there were children on that panel.
Oh, not the kids. Of course not the kids.
Anyway, but I asked, like, if the zombie apocalypse was, like, tomorrow, what would their plan be?
Mm-hmm.
And they had some pretty funny answers. The kids, actually, and then somebody asked a follow-up question after me, like, okay, so what would be the best way to kill zombies? Which way do you like to kill zombies
the most? Not
the
most practical. Which way would you like to do the most?
Which way is the most fun? And the kids were all like, slice them in the head, and I want a chainsaw. And the adults were just like, clean shot to the head.
The adults went first and basically went easy. And then the kids, the boys, he's like, he wants the chainsaw. And the girl was like, slice the head off. The other girl went... You know, I kind of like fire, so I would burn them.
I really like playing with fire. So I would burn them. I was like, okay.
Wow.
So yeah, when
so the, apparently my daughter was on the panel.
Apparently so.
Oh my god.
And what's your bet? So when the crew showed up, dude who's hosted the panel, I don't remember his name, but he was awesome, and I really should because incredibly funny guy, very entertaining. Who even did the wonderful thing, who gave us the heads up that you're not allowed to ask anything about Frank Darabont. You can't even mention it. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Can't talk about it at all. I, however, did not sign that exclusive, so let's talk some shit.
He was funny, the guy they had moderating that panel.
So when they did show up, he's like, oh, I've just been telling them, you know, about how we set up shots and stuff. And he's like, oh, you guys probably don't even recognize me, do you? Because I'm normally a zombie. And then what's her face? I can't remember.
The blonde actress. Yes, the sister blonde.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Looked at him and went, oh, wait a minute. Weren't you the last zombie I killed at the barn? Because
the barn hasn't happened yet.
Although now there is a promo picture in which you see Rick running towards
the farmhouse
or towards the farmhouse.
You know, I wonder if they did that in reaction to her dropping a slip at Dragon Con.
I don't know.
Probably not.
I just, it was a good time. They were incredibly tired because they were filming scenes the night before.
Yeah.
And so they were just out of it. So some of the questions that we asked and stuff, they were like, wow, okay. That was a damn fine time. What else did we do Friday? Did you go to any panels Friday?
Yes, I did. Actually, I went to stuff afterwards, after our show. So 8 o'clock. We did our show at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, we did. 7 o'clock. Trying to think, did we do anything? We
nope.
Didn't have any, yeah, no, we didn't. Because walking around looking at dealer rooms
drinking.
And stuff. Drinking.
Drinking.
Ambrosia is awesome.
I went to the FetLife meet and greet at 8 o'clock it was Max Lager's at the...
Okay.
Yeah.
Snoopy is the mascot for MetLife. Sorry. I don't want to know.
It's Bondage Woodscott.
then somebody now needs to absolutely make a Mandalorian armored Snoopy or Woodstock or both. Thank you.
That'd be cool.
Get on that. And sketch out my tattoo, please. I'm talking to the audience now.
Okay.
Sketch out my tattoo.
And then after the meet and greet where I got to, you know, hang out with a bunch of people I've been talking to online and stuff like that, I actually went to the FetLife panel that I was on. So I was on the panel from 11:30. We were out there for about an hour. Just
12
just
days.
12 days. Didn't quite feel like 12 days, but at least not to us. But it was a good time. I had a fun time. I was on that panel last year. I was on the panel this year. Maybe moderating it next year. Who knows? But it was a good time having fun with answering all the questions that people were just, you know, riffing off with us. And it was just a good time. So other than that, went to a party or no. After that, kilt blowing.
There you go.
Yes, I went to the kilt blowing the first night. I'm just going to skip straight ahead to the second night of kilt blowing because this was the major event that happened. Jenny Breeden, who was on the panel with us,
yep,
got engaged.
Aww.
At the kilt blowing.
I don't want to know where the ring was.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I don't.
Okay.
Not
you, then
know.
You already know where the kilt, where
yes,
it was.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Obi is the fiance, and he never goes to the kilt blowings. He's never in a kilt. He didn't tell anybody he was doing this. After the kilt blowing's over and done with, Jenny's like, yeah, well, thank you. And then he walks up on stage. Opens the kilt up. Yes, he has boxers on. Has the ring in the box. Attached to his...
Step one.
Yes.
Yeah. Cut a hole in the box.
And then he takes the ring out, and she's taking her hair out of the bun, and she's just like... If you've ever met Jenny Breeden, that you know what she's doing when she's just going, oh, wow, okay. And then he gets down on one knee and proposes, and then she just like... Loves, kisses, and then he asks, like, is that a yes?
Aww.
So he's like, and then she's like, picks up the mic again and goes, I'm done. You guys handle it. Puts the mic and walks away. And that was the end of the second night of the kilt blowing.
So
it was amazing.
Sweet. So, yeah, our show, our panel was quite fantastic. Quite a few people who were there last year came back.
Amazingly enough.
And they were probably saddened to see Corn Nimitz.
I was going
to
say, yeah. Really. Yeah. Only one person didn't come back.
They knew what they were getting into because
we
you saw
me. We had a lot
of
fun.
There. We did.
You don't know how hard it was. I spent trying to get people on that damn panel.
We had P.G. Holyfield.
Yes, but I was, you know, and while he's a great guest.
The zombie P.G. Holyfield.
The zombie drinking P.G. Holyfield. The zombie drinking P.G. Holyfield. And Jenny Breeden was on the panel as well. And you really don't realize how much time I spent trying to get other people on that panel. I got at least a dozen no's. It was a little bit less than a dozen no's.
Because everyone realized there's no way I can live up to the Corin Nimitz standard.
That's right. Exactly what it was.
Damn right it
They're
is.
All secret listeners of the show.
Yeah, because Will Wheaton, you're afraid to do as well as Corin Nimitz did.
Oh,
Robert Englund, terrified to try to do anywhere near as good.
Yes. He's scared of anything.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Sylvester McCoy. Everybody.
Everybody.
Everyone. Edward James Olmos.
I didn't ask for him. There was no chance.
Shut up. Shut up.
Stan Lee. I did ask for him.
Yeah. Yes.
No chance, but I asked.
Well, Stan wasn't even there on Friday.
Oh, wasn't?
No.
Stan, like you're on a first name basis.
Yeah. Oh, well.
The man.
You met the man.
I certainly did. But no, that was a great time. I want to thank everyone there and all the hardworking folks that helped that. For those of you that picked up one of our flyers, you have a very limited edition thing because Flint just made a flyer. And what did you do to make it really, really geekified?
Only 20 of them existed or something like that. And I put our QR code on the flyer so that even if you didn't pick it up, you could just scan it with your smartphone and then you could go to Geek Radio.
I know this because I'm a geek.
Yep.
Good job.
QR. It was a custom QR code.
Because it had the logo dead
the
center.
Logo yeah, I saw that.
It was really.
I had a few of those out.
Now, the great big flyer version that we gave to somebody there at the end, apparently that QR code didn't work. And I don't
Maybe
know why.
Because it got wet.
Maybe. Because the smaller ones worked. We tested it before. We had one. It was like, okay, blip, it works. Okay, print more. So,
That flyer by the end of the Friday was a little used and abused.
It was a little rough. Well, that'll happen when you have pancakes. Bruce,
I'm laughing on the inside.
Okay, I don't even know.
I'm laughing now.
Yeah, I know. I really want to know. Someone needs to figure out what that should mean because I don't know what it means to Bruce.
Yeah, I don't know.
You've
what it
got
means
to come
to me
up
either.
With something.
I'm just. It's
so Saturday then. What did we do Saturday?
Did you go to the parade?
No, we never go to the parade.
Ah, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Because they had to switch rooms on us.
Yeah.
After being there, we got free breakfast. So Saturday morning,
good.
The Hilton little restaurant.
Yeah.
Which has a ginormous window where the facing the street where the parade goes.
Yeah.
Eating breakfast and there's the parade.
Excellent.
Great seats.
Oh God, yes. I've been in that restaurant a few times and that's
that'd
be great place to watch it. Unfortunately, I was waking up to the sound of that parade and the alarms going off and everything else.
There's tons of pictures of that. I'm sorry. I got to jump back to Friday real quick, checking into the room. Walking over to the hotel to go up to the room, to the elevator to go up to the room.
Mm-hmm.
The elevator door opens, and these two goddamn college football people step off. And the lady, because it's always some stupid fat white lady that does this, steps off the elevator and goes, you guys shouldn't be here till tomorrow. And I said, this is our town, baby. Get used to it. And got on the elevator, which was really... really nice. Way to be inclusive. We don't go around bad-mouthing you to your face.
We do it behind your back.
Yeah.
Or on our podcasts.
We met some cool football people, though, and had some damn fine times. Because football people at this con and us, we share the same interest. Alcohol. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's a great unifier.
Oh, it really is. So Saturday, after some tasty breakfast, eggy wags and whatnot.
Something happened.
Did you
to
close
happens.
Your app?
First thing I did was the Parsec Awards. Was at 4 o'clock. Anything?
No,
well,
we definitely
thing,
went.
First thing, you know, worth talking about.
Definitely went to something before that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Really?
I think that was the day we spent most of the time in the dealer room.
Oh, you know, it could be checking out the dealer room.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time in the dealer room that day.
There were 30,000 people in one dealer room. It was just.
It seemed like it.
Oh my God. Oh, now,
Talk about that Dragon Con shuffle there.
We should point out that it's now Dragon Con has expanded because the Westin Hotel was now included with events and stuff as well. However, the dealer rooms are the same size, and there's like, 10,000 more people?
Yeah.
So
they need one more dealer room now.
Or, you know, you just need to make, just spread this out. Let's just open the area up because it was really difficult to get through there to the point where, wow, I'm just coming back later is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
There. Went and had some food, went and had some good times. But yes, the Parsec Awards.
Yes, where we presented.
For best musical podcast something.
Yeah, speculative. Hang on a second.
You've got the list
there. Yeah, I know. I'm looking up.
And the music.
But the guy who was actually doing the music at the award show was the one who won, Mark Gunn.
Yep, the Renaissance Fair podcast thing. Yeah, good stuff too, dude. Good stuff indeed. As always, it was a good time. There were prizes, door prizes being given out. I can't understand how many people for 15 minutes before the show started got tickets and then left? Because that just seems really weird. Yeah. That or I think that maybe that there was
first,
an accident.
They might have had extra tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wondering.
That's because they were calling numbers that were at least like 100 earlier than mine. And I was like,
yes.
There
and
wasn't
we were
100 people
one of
getting,
the very first ones to get tickets.
Yeah, we weren't. It wasn't like that.
So a little strange.
No, the podcast awards were fun. Hosted by Christiana Ellis and George Harab.
Christiana hosted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I know she was there because we were busy playing 3DS right before it started. Oh, Christiana Ellis was in desperate need of a white man. And here's what I mean by that. The Nintendo 3DS Street Pass program, which works really well at a con because you're constantly meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, after you meet 10 people, you have to clear out your little queue before you meet more. So basically, I met 130-some different people with 3DSs just walking around, which was kind of weird. There's this game that's on there called Find Me, where your character is kidnapped and all the people that you meet, you play them in a little miniature role-playing game,
mm-hmm.
and you have to go through and save yourself. Well, one of your rooms near the end is completely dark, and every character has a spell, and the color, your favorite color, so the color of your shirt, relates to a spell. So you needed a white shirt to be able to cast a spell for light so you could see the monster so you could kill them.
Yeah.
And, like, nobody's favorite color is white. So she's like, oh, God, yeah. He's like, I need a white guy or I'm not going to be able to finish this. Like, what?
Wow. Christiana, way to just lay it out there.
No, that was...
Also, the category was Best Speculative Fiction Music Podcast.
Ah, there it is. There it is. That was good stuff. Also, Parsec Awards. I love you. Mm-hmm. You know I love you, and you know I love alcohol.
Yes.
So, you know, the after party, I missed. Because mm-hmm. we had to leave the Parsecs early to go get in line over at the Sheraton for the early Doctor Who preview, the episode, the new episode's coming out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We got to see it. Mm-hmm. And that line, what looked like a badge line of old.
Okay, wow.
People got turned away. Because, you know, the great big room, the grand ballroom they have over there.
Yeah,
people
it was
got
crazy.
Turned away.
Wow.
Now, here's the really couple of cool things about the Doctor Who viewing. One... front, near a screen, they had a couple seats, you know, for dignitaries, whatever. Sylvester McCoy came in and watched Doctor Who with us. We watched
That's
Doctor
cool.
Who with
that
a doctor.
That was fun.
Right when it goes to fire up to start, Matt Smith comes on the screen and says, hello, Dragon Con! Sorry I can't... People are like, woo!
Yeah.
So hope I'll see you next year. Bye. So you didn't hear a goddamn word. All right. Everyone was cheering so much that I had no idea what he said after hello.
It doesn't matter. He said hello to us.
Oh, my God.
He knows we exist.
Now, they were very crazy watching. You had to have all electronics off.
Uh-huh.
If they caught you with a camera pointed at a screen, video, whatever, cell phone, you were escorted out.
They said it so many times it got a little bit like, come on, really?
Especially because this is Saturday and it comes on BBC America in like 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah. Really?
Like, what are you really going to do?
What am I going to do? Am I going to throw it up online? Because anyone that's going to watch it online has already downloaded it from online because it's been available for 4 hours by the time we watched it. But that was commercial.
Well, that didn't have commercials either.
Right.
So. Xfinity.
It was the 10th, or well, I don't know how many anniversaries they said, but, you know, my little geeky row of friends, we all looked at each other and went, really? 5-year anniversary for Xfinity or whatever it was. It was long enough that Xfinity was not a concept. It didn't exist for them to be announcing the anniversary of it. And we just thought that was kind of funny. So watching Doctor Who with an entire crowded room full of people, interesting experience. Did you see that episode or no?
No, that's the episode I had not seen because my DVR didn't record that
one. So did you see this past Saturdays?
So you're behind two.
No, I'm only behind one.
Okay.
So did you see the one where the kid is scared?
Yes.
Okay, that was the one.
I thought that was the one I missed. Sorry. That one I did see.
Yeah, so we saw that one a couple of hours before America got to see it on BBC America, which was good stuff. Do you remember anything else that we did on Saturday? Because I don't think I have anything else written. Oh,
no, that's where we went to the quiz show thing. Or
we
no?
did go to the quiz show
I missed
thing.
The quiz show. Darn.
Oh, dude, the quiz show, Paul and Storm.
Oh, no, that was Sunday. Sorry.
That was Sunday?
Yeah, they had one then on Saturday, but that's not what we did.
Saturday was Jonathan Coulton's concert then, right?
Okay. Yeah, we didn't make it to that.
I didn't make it to that.
Yeah, okay, well, maybe you didn't make it. I got there for part of it because Sylvester McCoy joined Jonathan Coulton on stage playing spoons to a song.
Oh, wow.
So
he just breaking out of spoons everywhere.
He is awesome. A spoon feed. You have no idea. Spoon Man. I need someone to recut a video for Spoon Man with Sylvester McCoy. Various Doctor Who things and, you know, occasional shots of him playing the spoons. So that was good. So, the next day is... dealer room where I got to meet Sylvester McCoy, shake his hand. I shook hands with a doctor.
Oh my God,
dude.
You just geekasm there.
I'm telling you, he was a very good doctor. Mm-hmm. And I think it's sad that most people, if they do know him from the regeneration scene in the Fox TV movie.
Let's see. We still talking about Saturday? Saturday.
Are we on Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, we're still on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Let's see. There was... there was a panel I went to at 11:30, and again the second day of the kilt blowing. also, I think that was the day, no, maybe it was Sunday, that I watched one of the William Shatner's Shit My Captain Says.
Okay. Well, if you count Dragon Con, I didn't even, wow, all the stuff we watched from Dragon Con TV in between.
Yes.
If it wasn't for Dragon Con TV.
Oh my God, there's no way I would
catch anything. The stuff that you would just miss at this, there's mm-hmm. so damn much stuff yeah. going on.
I'm not standing in line to watch, you know, to watch William Shatner get asked a question and then completely take it in another direction. It's like, oh, by the way, I got a record and a book coming out.
Well, you know, last year or a couple years ago, it was worth standing in line to watch him with Leonard Nimoy.
Yes,
that was totally worth
yes.
it. But
oh, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. Other than that, I was like, I'm not standing in these crazy, crazy long lines for that. It was weird how many crazy lines existed for other things, though, because every Walking Dead mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. a really long line. Everything Gareth David Lloyd from Torchwood did, every Torchwood panel was crazy, huge, and long.
All the Doctor Who stuff, yeah.
All the Doctor Who stuff, which in years before, there's been a decent line, but wow.
Not this
year, it's... Thank you all the norms for joining in on the Doctor Who bandwagon. It's awesome. Something that, you know, I've been watching since the early 80s, and some people longer than me, I know that. But thanks for joining the bandwagon, because that's just awesome. It's it's really good stuff. Crap, there was something... Nana Visitor, who's best known for being on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
And, of course, in the remake slash sequel to Friday the 13th that came out a couple of years ago, was in Torchwood. And I saw this panel, this Torchwood panel listed, that has her as the guest. Like, the only guest. Because it was about the new Miracle Day, which Gareth David Lloyd was not part of. And really nobody else from Torchwood was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's there, and she was like in one damn episode. I remember looking at the thing going, why is she there? She was only like in one episode. And so she goes up there and starts talking about everything else because she'd never even seen Torchwood before.
Wow.
I love you, but why did you let them do that to you?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It was a little crazy. Sunday, what happened Sunday?
Sunday, I went to the Jefferson Starship concert.
Really?
For about, because I was looking for somebody there, and I was there for like maybe 10 minutes.
The number of people that I talked to that were so excited to go see them, and I'm like, okay, you do realize you're not going to see Jefferson Airplane,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
You do realize
that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, oh my God.
There's no Grace Slick in this at all.
Oh my God, no, but I love Mannequin.
Oh, wow. I actually went in there, and the sound was so loud and horrible, I left after...
They did the song from the holiday special?
I don't even care. I could have been in there listening to it at the time, and I couldn't tell you if they did that song. Okay. It was that bad.
Wow.
But I did stick around for Crew Shadows afterwards.
Of course you did.
I actually have never seen them.
Okay.
As far as you know, they only have one song. Right?
They have one song.
Yeah.
Winterborn. They have one song.
They
because I slip in every year because at some point you need something. Because everyone else, by the time they play... Normally, mm-hmm. everyone else has gone to bed, and I'm still mm-hmm. up, wired, ready to do dancing, and like when the one concert ends, I walk over there and step in for a moment, and every goddamn year, I walk in,
you get Winterborn.
And they're doing Winterborn every goddamn year. And I don't understand. I'm like, really? And then they start playing another song, and there's all these people, oh my God, look, they're doing this song, and I'm like...
I don't know it.
Okay, it's not Winterborn, so I have no idea what that is. Right. So that last night was crazy, tons of folks. I also want to say that, you know what else was always booked and I got turned away from and couldn't get into a couple of times?
What?
Stuff on the Skepta track, on the podcast track.
Really?
Dude, that shit was booked every time.
Wow.
I got it like once, way in the flipping back once.
Mm-hmm.
And last year it was popular, but it wasn't that crazy popular.
No.
And I wish we had half. Something fun, I don't know, when we went, when we got pissed with the FDO. Which was a good time. You ever got pissed with the FDO?
No.
That's a good show, dude.
It was really fun.
That's a good show.
That was Sunday, what?
That was Sunday.
Oh, I thought you actually got pissed about it.
No. That's the name of his show.
Okay.
Because like drunk.
He has a guest, and he'll ask a guest a question, and for each question, they take a shot of Tuaca as they go along.
Okay.
And of course, the more he drinks, he'll forget if we've taken a shot. And we're like, no, we haven't taken a shot yet because the entire audience drinks. If you don't have alcohol, they have wine for you. So we all get pissed with the FDO. That was a good time. Is that where we saw Swoopy, who told us that she was... No, who was it that said that they were in a different room? They were in the room next to us, and everyone there was like listening to the
Swoopy
laughing.
Swoopy said that people said to her?
People said to her they were wondering what was in the other room because they were like in something and they were like, they sounded like they're having much more fun. So apparently we sounded like we were having a lot of fun.
Well, drunk people listening, we that does happen.
No. Geek Radio Daily was having more fun.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. People were in a different room. No, this was not at the same time as the FDO.
Oh, okay.
She's saying that Friday in the room next to us, whatever panel was in there, there were people wondering what we were doing because we were having more fun.
Okay. I'll go with that one.
That's
good. Did you hear about the newest Dragon Con game they have?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's like Punch Buggy, except with Jane hats.
Oh.
Because I didn't realize this was going on until Sunday. It's like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting into an elevator. I still have my hat on, and two people in the elevator. One looks at the other one and goes, it just punches them. Like, what's your fault? It's like, why? Because every time we see a Jane hat, it's like Punch Buggy. Effin', really?
That's
seriously?
A good one. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
it's like a contusion.
People are getting abused, though. This, not as much this year as last year. Last year, there were so many Jane hats.
There were
still
a lot,
this
year.
Yeah.
Still quite a few. Still quite a few. Wanted to say, had a good time bumping into George Rob for a moment and Donna. Always good times hanging out with you folks. It was spiffy. The people downstairs at the Marriott had steampunk guitars, which was crazy. The one of the dealer rooms, this guy tricked out a completely working USB steampunk keyboard. It's a thing of beauty.
Oh,
somebody bought it.
Because it was $1,600.
Yeah, it was gone. Yeah, it was gone.
That was $1,600. I'm like, oh my God.
So good for you there. Also Sunday night, after everyone else had crashed, walked around with Steve Reichenberg. Good to hang out with you. We took pictures. Techno Guru is going to make a steampunk outfit, and I'm not going to announce what it is because I gave him the perfect idea. I can tell you off the air, but I'm not giving this away because someone will steal this idea.
Yeah, okay.
It's effing brilliant.
Speaking of stealing, sorry, remind me afterwards. Keep going.
Okay.
I did not see her, but someone told me they saw Steampunky Brewster. That was my idea. That was my idea.
What I liked with the groups. The groups of people that were walking around together. Did you see I'm sure you saw the Pee-wee's Playhouse group.
Yes.
With Cherry, and Pee-wee and the pterodactyl and the... it was all...
Paging Mr. Herman. Paging Mr. Herman.
W.
Herman.
Pancakes.
You know that's just going to take off and we're never ever going to live this down.
Quickly, the game show that we're talking about, Trace and Frank were on the game show.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and Storm were on the game show, and many people that I forgot were on the game show. But they played this fun version that we're going to have to do for an episode one day, and which there was two panels of three people each, two teams.
Yeah.
And each person on the team, you had told the hosts things about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you would get an envelope.
They researched you, yeah.
You would get an envelope, and you would open it up, and there would be something written in there that you would have to say, you know, this is what I did, blah, 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 which was either a truth or a lie. And if it was the truth, you wanted the other team to think you were lying. And if it was a lie, you wanted them to think it was the truth. So that was fun.
We'll have to get a couple of guests on the show and play the game.
And they also did a thing where you got lyrics to a song and you just kept singing. And they would turn the music down and you're supposed to keep singing.
Yeah.
And they would randomly bring the music back. And if you matched up, you won. So seeing Frank Conniff trying to match Beyond the Sea.
They were just really funny. Comments and the riffing that they did on people were really funny.
Did Frank look unwell to you?
No.
He looked like he was completely blitzed, and good for him.
Yeah,
he looked completely blitzed the entire time. Every time
I saw him, he looked like he was kind of sick or out of it.
Out of it, I'll give you, because it looked like he was enjoying my ambrosia is what that looked like.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Eyes weren't open much at all.
No. So do we go ahead and jump to Monday then? Because I know we've left out so much stuff, but...
That's good.
So Monday, checking out. The fun trying to get a damn elevator.
Yep. You're at the Hilton, so it's not horrendous.
Actually, ours was okay because we had one of the workers there let us get on the service elevator. So I got down from the
better.
Hilton, not
that's
that bad.
That's better.
But the fun thing, I woke up that morning and wanted to go hit the dealer rooms one last time.
Mm-hmm.
And tech guy Wolfie is with me. And, you know, we go up to go down because that's how elevators work.
Exactly.
At a con. And, of course, we're stopping at almost every floor coming down.
Of course.
Almost every single one. And, you know, we're laughing to the guys. We're like, you know, yeah, that's just going to happen. He's like, you know what really pisses me off, though? And I was like, what's that? He's like, you know, when you stop on the third floor and there's some jackass wanting to go to the second floor, and then where do we stop? The third floor.
Oh, my God.
The door's open. We're almost completely full.
Uh-huh.
And tech guy Wolfie, who's in over here and can't really see what's going on, is like, sorry, you can take the steps. They're right over there. While everyone else in the elevator is like, no, I think we can fit you in. And the guy turns around and walks away. that guy was Edward James Olmos.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
I'm not. So Tech Guy Wolfie is like, go take the stairs, old man.
He couldn't see who it was. He didn't know.
Yeah, he couldn't see it. The door's closed. I'm like, dude, Edward James Olmos. He's like, it was? Like, yeah, it was. But it was funny because he just, the door's open, he looked at the elevator, and he just sighed and turned around and walked the hell away.
Oh my God, that's hilarious to me.
One quick elevator story that I want to say happened on Saturday, also at the Hilton. Also, we're taking every floor down, blah, blah, blah. We're completely packed. The doors are opening on every floor, and people are seeing us and just whatever. The door opens at about the 17th floor, and this jackass in a pith helmet just pushes people
uh-huh.
and steps on, doesn't say, excuse me, nothing. And this girl next to me is like, well, that was a really jackass move, and he's just standing there. And I'm like, well, you know, wearing a pith helmet means you get to be a complete and total dick. She's like, oh, I didn't know that. And I'm like, oh, yeah. It also means you don't have to apologize or say I'm sorry or excuse me or show any kind of human decency whatsoever. And this guy just stood there like he didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're standing right in front of me. Mm-hmm. You're looking me in the eye as I'm talking to you.
You could at least be like, yeah, my bad. I'm sorry. I had to get on the elevator.
Yeah, or you could have taken the damn stairs. So you should have already booked your room because most of them booked...
Yeah, probably.
There,
yeah.
Because we booked our room for next Dragon Con while we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get left out. This bullshit where they're going to wait. No, they're not going to wait. You need to go ahead and call and find out.
Get your room.
Now. Now.
You've already got it.
Finish listening to the show and then go do it.
Yeah, that would be helpful, too.
You can be online and, you know, listening to us.
Yeah, but I want you to pay full attention because you never know when we're going to say pancakes again. So what else do we need to do about Dragon Con? It's a damn fine time.
It's an excellent time. If you're not there, did either of you get con crud?
No,
I did.
Nope.
A little bit. I just thought
I don't move in the same circles you do.
Yeah, I know. all the alcohol you were drinking was killing everything that
exactly.
you. All the bugs that you.
Alcohol is very helpful for you, and also does hydrate you. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Last words.
Dragon Con's really fun. If you're ever on the fence of like whether or not you're going to try to go, it is expensive,
go.
Right? Start saving up your money, put it aside, you know, consign yourself to live on ramen noodles for the entire month of September. But go to Dragon Con if you have never been, or if you have been and it's been a while. So much fun. Really a good time. We had a blast. And I'm still, like I said, a little hungover, just going through like withdrawal because I miss it because there's just no experience like it.
There was a Dragon Con.
Thank you to
withdrawal.
Everybody who came to our show. That was really
awesome.
Oh
my God, yes, definitely.
And yeah, we had a good time.
I'm sorry I lied. That's not the last word because I very quickly have to tell the Stan Lee story because I got a Stan Lee autograph.
You do? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so Stan Lee was in town to film his cameo for the Avengers, which is why he wasn't there Friday, but was there Sunday. He was there Sunday and Monday.
Okay.
So Saturday, we buy our tickets for it. Sunday, we get in line really early. They bring 40 of us into the room. We're waiting for Stan. They go over the rules, blah, 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 blah. Okay, he's not going to, you can't shake his hand. He's not going to personalize, blah, blah, blah. Any questions? This one guy, yeah, so do we pick up the 8x10s at the table? What 8x10s? You know, for him to autograph.
You
know that the sign in your ticket both says you're supposed to bring something. A guy showed up to get a Stan Lee autograph with nothing.
Yeah.
A guy in the room sold him for $30 a Spider-Man number one. No. The Todd McFarlane Spider-Man number one.
Whoops.
Yeah, well, okay. The guy two behind us
mm-hmm.
had a Thor hammer better than yours.
Okay.
And here's why.
Okay.
Because we're looking at him like, oh my God, dude, that looks amazing. Where did you get that? Dr. Pepper, he says. What?
What?
You remember the Dr. Pepper contest?
Yeah.
If you got the special can, you won a prize?
Yeah.
He won a Thor hammer from them.
Oh.
He had Stan Lee sign an official replica
licensed Thor hammer.
Oh. Can you say eBay?
That dude's got easily thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So yeah, save up all your money. It's a fantastic time. And make sure you bring stuff for Stan Lee to sign, especially if your parents live an hour and a half away from Atlanta and have your old comic book collection and your 1977 Spider-Man album that Stan Lee narrated. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You might want to bring one of those so you don't end up with a Todd McFarlane comic you're getting Stan Lee to sign. I'm just saying. And there's tons of stuff we forgot.
And of
course. You can share your stories. Who knows? We could probably make a clip show out of everybody's... Hey, there's an idea.
Hey, a clip show.
That would push things off for a week. No. We'll be back next week because we even have a show planned already.
We do.
It's astounding. GRD is licensed on the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Make sure you come by the forums and check us out at geekradiodaily.com.
And get our new promo.
Get our brand spanking new promo that's awesome and will make you giggle. People have said this. Giggle. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, where you can find all the fun news feeds and all those other wonderful things. And until next time, you have yourself a fantastic sweet.
It needs to be about 20% cooler.
So why don't you make like a tree
Everybody get out of here.
We're sad. Sad, sad, sad geeks, my friend.
Try to save some that you can spend to go back to Dragon Con. It's where the geeks gather in the 13 meter, where you'll find elephants just like how's your. Whatever you're into, may happen to be. The pleasure in a fanatic run free. It's where the geeks gather in the 13 meter, where you'll find elephants just like how's your. Whatever you're into, happens to be. The pleasure in